We wouldn't be able to keep this archive going without your support. Donate online today at WYXR.org.
Boys and girls, you're listening to Songs That Move You on WYXR in Memphis, Tennessee. My special guest is my buddy, John Buford. John, how you doing this morning?
Well, I'm not bad. I made it.
Yes, you did.
On time.
That's right. Somebody told me that the last time you were on my show, you didn't make it on time.
I was about 15 minutes late, I think.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, that's all right. Yeah. I had to tap dance a little bit, but that's okay. I've tap danced before.
You know, I don't see you irritated very often.
Yeah, I was not irritated then.
There was a little edge there when I got here. It didn't last long, but the first few minutes when I walked into the air room nonchalantly at 9:15, there was a little bit of edge.
And I got to say, you were a little flustered yourself.
I was.
You were going, oh my God, I was driving 100 miles an hour coming here. So, yeah, back at you.
We were both on edge.
That's right. Yes, we were both on edge a little bit. Well, that's okay. You know, we got it done, and it was a great show.
Yeah, it was fun.
It really was a lot of fun. Folks, if you've never listened to my show before, this is called Songs That Move You. And my belief is that everybody has their own personal, unique musical DNA. And that's kind of what we talk about. Here we get people to come in and bring their songs, and we talk about those songs and why those songs move them somehow. Today we're doing something special. John and I are friends outside the radio world, and we were also good friends with John Kilzer, who has now been gone for 3 years.
No, it's longer than that.
4 years.
Four, maybe five, yeah. It's
okay.
Been longer than you think.
Well,
in fact, you and I met through John.
That's right. We did and started playing guitar together once a month, and we still have lodge night every month and have a big time. and that was funny. John had asked me to come and be a part of that group, or I guess maybe audition for the group, you know, because you kind of have to audition,
right?
Yeah, not just anybody gets in. And so we went, and we had such a good time. We just sat around and played. And the only rule was, and if there was any rule, is you bring five songs, and people can play with you or not with you. You can play anything you want. And so we have run the gamut of playing music. Good gosh. And we've been doing this for 10 years, 10 plus years. And it's really, really a lot of fun. And I think as a guitar player, you know, you have to work up a song. And so it kind of puts a little bit of pressure on you to work up a song. But a lot of what I really enjoyed about that, you know, certainly the friendships and the lasting friendships, were getting to sit there and listen to John play songs to us that he was working on.
Yeah. It was, having hacks like you and I is one thing, but when you have a songwriter and a singer, the caliber of a John Kilzer in your little group, it kind of elevates things.
It does.
And we all kind of like, it's my turn. Yeah, it's your turn. And then it'd be John's turn. Everybody would get real quiet and like, what are you going to play, man? Let's hear, everybody was always, he was the showstopper.
He was. And I mean, and he would, he was such a wordsmith. And this is probably something we'll talk about, as we go on this morning. Because we're going to play all John Kilzer music this morning as a tribute to our friend. But he was a real wordsmith, and he played with words a lot. And I know he talked with you a lot about composing and things like that. And you could kind of tell what his influences were, but then he would always turn things on their head.
Yeah, we'll play this song in a minute here, but I remember on his record Hideaway, there was a tune called The Crescent Moon. He called up and said, what do you think of that record? It just came out. What do you think? I said, oh, it's great, and blah, blah, blah. I said, I like that Crescent Moon song, but I've renamed it for you. He said, what's that? I said, it's called Cortez the Killer Crescent Moon. I said, because... and he... laughed and said, yeah, there's nothing new in pop music, you know, so
right.
you can you can borrow slash steal, you know. I he gave himself the liberty to do that, and quite openly.
Yeah.
And that same tune, it had a phrase, the Bedouin balloons. Uh-huh. And I asked him one time, I said, well, what's a Bedouin balloon?
Uh-huh.
And he said, well, you know, Bedouins. I said, you know what a Bedouin is, don't you? I'm like, well, yeah, you mean those guys in the Middle East who wear the blue cloth in the desert? He said, yeah, yeah. I said, well, what's a Bedouin balloon? He said, well, it's nothing. And I said, what, you mean it's just nonsense? You just smushed two words together that have no context? And he said, yeah. I said, well, you can't do that. He said, what do you mean? I do it all the time. And he said, don't you ever listen to Bob Dylan?
There you go. And, you know, that just says so much about, you know, I mean, he had the confidence to do that. And I think, you know, as a songwriter.
And the creativity. I've tried to do it, you know, in my own songs that I write. Uh-huh. I've tried to do that.
Yeah.
And there's a real gift to that because I can't do it.
Yeah.
Like, I can't write. I can't just smush stuff together and put it down and say, well, there it is. That's great. I can't do it. I'm too literal.
Yeah.
And I think he had the ability to not be literal, which is not everybody can do that, you know.
That's right,
I mean, Coltrane moons and Madagascar trees or whatever that was, or, you know, Bedouin balloons. You know, if you look through his songs, pretty much all of them have that in them.
Right.
And I envy that because it probably makes songwriting a lot easier if you could do that, you know.
Yeah,
it's like, well, I'm, you know, I need something that rhymes and whatnot. Yeah, I'm just going to put in some stuff. And
I love it. I love it. But, you know, I think long ago, and, you know, he had a very, very long career, you know, but I think long ago he gave himself permission to do that.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what people really need to understand. It's a lot of this is giving yourself permission.
Yes. And he was a big Dylan guy. And I think he got that from Dylan. Like, hey, if that's.
That's right.
If he can do it, I can do it.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
There are no rules here about, it doesn't all have to make sense, as long as something makes sense eventually, you know.
Yeah. All right, folks. Well, we're going to get into it here. So John picked five songs, and I picked five songs, and the only one we picked was the same one, is the first one we're going to play.
What was that?
It's a song called California.
Oh, okay.
And I like this song because John played this for us at one of our guitar pools years ago before he recorded it, and I was absolutely blown away. I thought it just said so much about him. So
I don't remember that.
Oh, you don't?
No, and I wish I could, because he must have played it on guitar, but he wrote it and recorded it on piano.
That's right, on piano, right.
But so,
he played it on guitar. I remember because I when he was playing it, I thought, oh my God, did he write this? And I was just kind of like, oh, this is kind of, he's lifted it a little. I mean, he's very inspired for this. So we're going to play this. This is off, what is it off?
Off of Hideaway.
Hideaway. This is John Kilzer doing California.
You hope.
I hope. Hang on. What did I do?
Well, I'm living 'neath the hours of a Hollywood sign. Don't worry, baby, I'm just fine. 'Cause I got friends up here in California. Got me a gig at the foot of the hill. Last night someone tipped me a $10 bill. That's a couple of beers in California. Living a dream, it gets real, and it gets cold up on the hill. Underneath the stars of California. I swear, son. I snuck backstage at the Hollywood Bowl. They threw me out before the show. Now there's places I can't go in California. I stood out in the rain trying to get a part. A movie they were filming in Griffith Park. They sent me home when it got dark in California. Tell my friends I'm just fine.
California by John Kills. That is such a great song.
It is. Well, I like it. Most of his music, to me, to my ears, is not real autobiographical. Yeah. And he did not insert himself into a lot of his songs. He wasn't like, well, here's what I lived through, or here's what I did, or here's the story. You know, it was all... It was kind of outside of him.
Universal.
Yeah. And I like California because it is autobiographical. And I think, you know, he spent several years in California trying to make records for Geffen.
Yeah.
And those were, he didn't like to talk about it really. I mean, I would ask him questions and he would answer them. And he had a lot of great experiences. You know, he lived with Joni Mitchell for a couple of weeks, stayed in her house, and people came and went, and he partied with a Harry Dean Stanton until he couldn't stand it anymore, and finally said, "Harry, I gotta go home." And he's like, "What do you mean? We're just getting started." And he's like, "I am gonna die if I spend one more minute with you," and you know all the people he met, and it was a crazy experience, and one that I think. I don't think it ended well because it kind of seemed to trigger him a little bit when you started talking about the California days.
Right.
And I think he was reticent to even go there mentally.
Yeah.
And anyway, I like the song. He really kind of captured that what was going on out there.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, John was the kind of person who you only knew what he wanted you to know about him. Well, we've talked about that before.
Yes.
I mean, we both knew him fairly well, but he only gave you as much as he wanted to give you.
Yeah, yeah. You couldn't, and if you tried to probe deeper, he would just stop.
He was good on defense.
Yes, he would just stop.
He'd give you the Heisman.
Yes, yes.
Here.
He would deflect and redirect the conversation if he was going somewhere that he was uncomfortable with, which right. we all do that. And that's not a criticism, but that's the way he was. So I liked the songs, the few songs he wrote and recorded that were really about him. Yeah. You know, hey, this is me. Just a topic.
You know? That's true. All right, so you've got the next pick here.
Oh,
What would you like?
I want to do Fading Man.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's for the same reason. Mm. To me, Fading Man is probably the most autobiographical. It's the most the deepest, I think, that he went into who he is, who he was. Yeah. In song.
Yeah.
And when I heard it, I had known him for 5 years when I first heard this song off his record called Seven, which is my favorite.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh gosh, this is, this is John.
This is real.
Yeah, this is real. And I had not heard that from him up until that moment. I'm like, oh, I didn't even know he would do that, but here it is. This is real. We're getting real here.
All right. Well, here we go. Here's Fading Man.
Down on the midway, the shadows are creeping. The con is a sweeping. The sawdust and sand next to the mad mouse are just out of eyeshot. House paint on canvas, the world's fading man inside a figure, a beckon is closer. We were unsure, but we went anyway. He said, come in here quick, 'cause you're burning daylight. We're caught in the twilight with nothing to say. Is anybody here? Can you find my shadow like a slow burning candle? There's less in the future and more of my past. Smoke-colored eyes and the face made out of angles. A silhouette dangles like a drunk cigarette. She said, what the hell? She spied a stranger, and he felt the danger from the sway of her hips. She looked in his eyes, the windows were broken, no curtains were hanging between him and the storm. She slid him a tumbler, new polished brandy. She said, this comes in handy when you need to stay warm. Is anybody here? Can you find my shadow like a slow burning candle? I thought it would last. It looks like I've a lot wherever you've gone off, but I miss you more when you're standing right here. You you somehow seem real when you're just a memory. You're more like a ghost when you're standing so near. He said, just 'cause you can't recall doesn't mean it didn't happen. And just 'cause you can remember, it don't mean that it did. She watched him leave, and the clown swept up the spotlight. The men with no shadow, the world's fading man. Is anybody here? Can you find my shadow? Like a slow burning candle, I thought it would last. It seems like I've lost what was too hard to handle. Now there's less future and more of my past. Now there's less of my future and more of my past.
Fading Man. Wow. Great song.
Yeah. He got real in that one.
Yeah.
And we had another example of the kind of the Bob Dylanist shoe polish brandy. What the heck is shoe polish brandy? If he was here right now and I asked that, he'd say, well, what do you think it is? It's nothing.
Right. Oh, that's so fine. That is so fine. Folks, you're listening to Songs That Move You. John Buford and I are doing a special tribute to our friend John Kilzer. And John's been gone for a few years now, but we have great memories of him and had a lot of fun with him.
Yeah.
You know, he would decide to engage, and we would have a great time.
Yeah.
And then we wouldn't see him.
Yeah, when he was in engagement mode, he was super fun and an interesting guy to hang out with. When he was out of engagement mode, you just had to just wait for him to resurface.
That's,
you
know? Right. Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you, I've got a label called Blue Barrel.
Right, yeah. And you produced some of his records. Did he do anything?
No.
That was all on Archer.
He was always on Archer, yeah. Okay. But Blue Barrel was Archer, administers Blue Barrel.
And, yeah.
And I took him out to the farm one time to bluegill fish. You've seen that drill.
Oh, yeah. And, love that.
Yeah.
And in fact, didn't I win a trophy last year?
I think you did.
For catching every kind of fish in the lake?
You slammed. We call that a sassy lake slam. Okay. And you did that. Yeah.
It was fun.
Well, we were out there floating around fishing and whatnot, and we had killed a big snake, and he was from kind of a rural area, but he was a city slicker for sure. You know, he didn't know what to make of any of this. We shot some guns and killed this big water moccasin in the road, and he was just having a great time. And we had a big blue chemical barrel floating around out there. I said, man, that thing has been floating around for 6 months and I hate it and I want to get that out of here. He said, well, we can get that out of here. I said, well, okay. So, I mean, it took us 3 hours. This thing was full of water.
Oh, no.
It weighed about 300 pounds. It was all slick with algae. So we go out there in the boat. We try to get a rope around it, you know, and tow it to shore. We can't do that. We finally get it to shore, and then we can't get it out of the lake. And we finally drag it out of there, and we load it in the truck, and we take it over to my shed and dump it off. I'm like, man, that feels good to get that damn big blue chemical barrel out of that, you know, eyesore out of the lake.
Yeah.
And we go home, and I go back out there like a week later, and there's another one sitting right there in the same spot.
What?
Yes, another exact same big blue barrel.
Wow.
And I called him. I said, you're not going to believe this. I went back out there, and there's another blue barrel sitting right there in the same spot. And he was like, it's a haint. It's got to be a haint. I said, I guess so. So about a day later, at the time, we were just putting this label together, and I'd asked him, I said, what do you think we ought to name this thing? We kind of brainstormed in the drive over there, you know, this and that and this and that. He calls me up about 3 days later. He says, I got a name for your label. It's a slam dunk. Stop, you know, stop looking. I've got it. I said, what's that? He said, Blue Barrel.
Oh, that's great. I love it. I love it. All right, folks, we are doing a tribute to John Kilzer this morning. I get the next pick.
Yeah.
And I like this song because this next song, this is off Scars, and he borrowed a melody or part of a melody from a song, as he would, but he turned it around a little bit. But I think this shows you just how clever he was as a songwriter. It's called Flatbed Truck.
And he wasn't afraid to borrow.
No, he wasn't afraid to. But no, it was, everything was his.
I had a Christmas song that I wrote. I actually wrote in the parking lot of that church where he did The Way. I went down there to go to The Way, and I had these lyrics in my head. I wrote them all out in my car, and I gave it to him. A few weeks later, I said, "Here, I want you to write the music for this." Uh-huh. And so he took it, and he came back, you know, a week or two later, and he said, "Here, done." And I played it, listened to it, played it. I said, "John, this sounds really familiar. Is this your song by Elton John?" He said, "Yeah."
Hey, take what you need, right? Take what you need, folks. Yes, he was a true hippie, I think.
Yes.
All right, here we go. Here's a Flatbed Truck, and see if you can figure out
what song
he ripped off.
Okay.
Here we go.
I never met your man of steel, but I've seen him blow by in his automobile, doing donuts in the sunshine. It ain't no big deal, I got a flatbed truck, half a tank of gas and 16 bucks. You're quite the debutante, I saw you on your float, crowned by an astronaut, doing donuts in the sunshine. It ain't no big deal, I got a flatbed truck, $16.
Hey, man, it ain't no big deal. I got a flatbed truck.
Got some gas in
That's right. Got a few bucks in my pocket. I'm okay. Everything's all right. This is that would have been a little autobiographical, too, you know, with the homecoming queen and all that, you know, Jackson, Tennessee, where John grew up. And, you know, he was, I don't know if people know this, you know, he was a big basketball star at the University of Memphis. Back then it was, of course, Memphis State. This was in the late 70s. He was a high school All-American, like first team.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
He was quite a good player. I got to tell you this, first well, time.
He told me, I said, why'd you play at Memphis? What brought you to Memphis? He said, well, they paid me the most.
That's good. That's good.
If you've ever wondered,
that's right.
If that was actually going on, well, it was.
It was going on. Right. Yeah.
He said he got a brand new car, and he had a job where he didn't do anything, but he would show up every Friday, and they'd give him $1,000.
Wow. Wow.
And he said that was my best offer.
Well, I tell you what, I saw the first time I ever saw him, and he told me later this is the first time he ever played guitar in public. He played, there were two bars across the railroad tracks from University of Memphis. It's a place called Uncle Ernie's and a place called Across the Tracks. And they were just these big places, you know, college students, beer joints, you know. And Larry Raspberry was playing in there by himself. He was doing his Alone and Unashamed thing. And this was in 1978. And John came in and ask him, and this is before Raspberry started playing, and so it was probably 7:30 at night or something. John came in and said, hey man, can I play your guitar? He did. I don't think he knew but two chords, but he kind of got through a song doing that. I thought, like, this guy's terrible.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you thought he was terrible?
Oh, well, he didn't know anything.
Yeah.
And then apparently he just, you know, literally embraced the guitar and became a very good guitar player and became a very good singer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, his guitar playing was rhythm only, but his singing was, he had such a way with vocal inflection and the quality of his voice.
Yeah.
I remember that song he wrote, the music to, for that Christmas song, I played it. I let my, he sang it on, I made a Christmas record and he sang it for me. Yeah. And I let my guitar teacher, this was years and years ago, and this guy, this guitar teacher, he didn't know anybody about pop music. Like, he didn't know who Neil Young was, you know.
Okay.
He was not a pop music guy.
Right.
And but I said, here, I want you to, you know, listen to some of this. And he listened to Kilzer singing that song, and he said, he had the earphones on, you know, and he said, well, I don't think much of this song, you know, because it's pop music or whatever. But he said, man, this guy can sing. And then he can sing. I mean, he's still got the phones on, you know. He does.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't get over his singing ability because you know, he's like, who is this guy? I'm like, well, he's just a local guy here. He's like, man, this guy can sing.
That's great. Well, and he was right, you know. I think, you know, all the time that John spent alone, he probably sang a whole lot. He probably, and probably even more than that, he probably thought about it a lot.
Yeah.
You know, just the inflection of every word.
Yeah. And he would overemphasize his Southern inflections sometimes.
Yeah.
And sometimes not, but you could hear it when he would do that, you know, when he would get twangy or, you know, he was, He used that. He recognized it and used it.
Yeah. Well, you know, his father was an engineer on the railroad, and his mother drove the bookmobile.
Mm-hmm.
So she was a librarian, and he, you know, famously said, you know, I got diesel fuel and ink running through my veins.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And he really did.
And he inserted train.
Yeah.
Imagery into a lot of his songs.
Yeah.
And that's where that came from. He used to ride He used to go with his
dad. He did, right. He said he could still smell the smells, yeah, you know, his yeah. dad smoking cigarettes,
yeah,
and
a drinking.
Little bit of whiskey,
yeah, drinking.
Yeah, and all this. So, yeah, it's amazing, you know, how he was built as a human being, but he was built from all those memories. And the same thing, he said the bookmobile would pull up in some little crossroads, you know, 20 miles out from Jackson, Tennessee, and the kids would just be ecstatic to be able to check out a book.
Oh, really? Okay.
You know, and he said he just got that. You know, he had his love for literature.
Yeah.
You know, and storytelling.
Yeah.
You know, from that. So, yeah.
Yeah, he taught English at U of M.
Yes, he did.
Until they fired him.
I wish I could have taken that class.
I do too.
You know, it would have been a great class.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
There's no telling where all he was taking people.
Yeah, yeah, know? Yeah.
Well, that's great. All right, folks. Obviously, we're doing a tribute to John Kilzer this morning. My name is Willie Bearden. I'm here with my buddy John Buford. And John, I'm so glad you're here this morning.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't miss it. Yeah.
We've been talking about this for a while. Okay, you get the next pick. What do you want to play?
Let's do Cortez, The Killer Moon.
Okay.
The Killer Crescent Moon.
Yeah.
It incorporates a lot of what we've been talking about. It's got a borrowed melody.
Yeah.
And it's got a train imagery.
Right.
And I always think fondly of this song. For a couple of years, he would say, you know, one of these days I want to get you up on stage with me, you know, and mm-hmm. play. And I always said, yeah, that'd be fun, you know. Yeah. And I've never played in front of people, you know, yeah. a band at stage and all that. Yeah. And so this is so typical, John. He texts me on a Friday and said, hey, I'm playing Italian Fest mm-hmm. Again this year. And why don't you come and play with the yeah. band? And I said, great. And I just assumed that was going to be like Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah,
this was
right.
a Friday at like 2.
Right.
And I texted back. I said, that sounds great. When is it? He said, 4.
Oh, I love it.
So I said, well, what do you want me to play? What are we going to play? He said, well, we'll do Cortez or the Crescent Moon, you yeah. know, because that was a song I told him I liked.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. You want to send me the chords? He said, oh, just listen, you'll figure it out, you know. So I showed up at 4 o'clock and wow. And played with him and his band, Steve Selvage and some others, and it was really fun.
Yeah.
I understood at that point, you know, after that was over, yeah. you know, my wife was in the audience, she videoed the whole thing and blah, blah, blah. It was really fun, but, you know, I was up there and there were probably 2,500 people in yeah, front of the stage, right. and a lot of them knew the lyrics. They were singing along, and
wow.
and there were some hippie chicks twirling in front of the stage, you know. And
yeah.
I thought, now I kind of get this now. I see why people do this.
Yeah,
you
there's
know.
An allure to it.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
It's just Italian Fest, but it kind of felt like
yeah.
you know, like
Woodstock.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, look at all these girls twirling around and they're tie-dyed, whatever, you know. And just, I got it. I'm like, okay, I get it. I see.
That's great. All right, so here we go. This is John Kilzer off Scars doing Crescent Moon.
Off of Hideaway.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, is it on hot? That's right. Yeah, Crescent Moon.
Ooh.
confused a bit. They flew better when balloons. A Punchinello was singing a Harry Nilsson tune. Yeah, and the mood was Marvin Turkleys. The women danced and swooned behind the locomotive inside the crescent moon. Telescopes, some the natural eye. It's a good night to hitchhike. Take a chance, is there some room behind the locomotive inside the crescent?
Crescent Moon.
It's got it all. It's got the borrowed melody. It's got Bedouin balloons.
Yes.
It's got trains. Train imagery. Yeah.
Right.
It's kind of a...
It's got everything.
It's kind of a mashup of a lot of the things we've been talking about.
Yeah. That's very cool. Very cool. Folks, we are doing this Kilzer tribute, and we're glad you're along for the ride. And we're glad you listen in every Monday morning. My show is 9 to 10 on Mondays, and appreciate it. If you are so moved, you can always go to WYXR.org and donate.
Absolutely.
And, you know,
become a member.
Become a member. And you know what? Even better, become a sustaining member.
Yeah.
You know,
stand up and be counted.
That's right. $5 a month, $10 a month, $20, whatever, you know, whatever you can handle.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
It really helps the station. And we just had our spring pledge drive,
mm-hmm.
and it was very successful.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to keep pushing here, because you know it, and I think everybody knows that there's so much good material coming out of this place. You just get, I don't know how many volunteers there are, but there are dozens and dozens of volunteers mm-hmm. that come on and do shows and share a piece of their passion for you. And so, and I really do appreciate that. And I appreciate the fact that I get to do this show every week. John was the person who asked me to do the show or suggested I do the show. And I said no about five times.
Yeah, you said I'm too busy.
And you know what? I finally he said, well, do the Lazy Man's thing and just get your guest to bring the songs.
Yeah, let them program it.
And I thought, that's brilliant. So I started doing this. And I got to tell you, folks, it is one of the coolest things and one of the most satisfying things I do on the landscape of my life. I love doing this. It gets my week started off right.
Yeah.
So I'm glad, you know, we can come in and do something like this as tribute to John Kilzer. Okay, I get the next pick, and I want to do this song.
I'm going to put you on the spot here. I get to do another Christmas special this year?
Yeah, of course. That's okay. It's booked every year.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great show.
I just wanted to I wanted to lock that in.
No, you're on air. No, you're in.
So now I have witnesses.
You got witnesses. You're in. We're doing the Buford Goes to Christmas show
Good.
Every year. Yeah, just no question. All right, here's a song that I wanted to play, and I really thought that, you know, that he got a little personal with this one. And without further ado, this is Hello Heart. Yeah, that kind of, I think he was getting real.
You think he was getting real then?
Yeah, I definitely think he was getting real, because I know some of the story around that.
Okay.
And,
Yeah,
he was getting real. Wow. Folks, we are winding down the show. Actually, we got 10 minutes left. We're going to play another couple of songs. John, it is your...
My turn?
Your turn. What are you thinking about?
Well, I want to play Memory in the Making before we run out of time.
Yeah.
I think that was... when I would see him live around town, that seemed to be the song everybody wanted him to play.
Yes, everybody knew that song.
Yeah, and, yeah. And he didn't want to play it.
Oh, he didn't?
No, he really didn't, and he wouldn't.
Yeah.
And I only heard him play it one time.
You know,
I saw him live probably, you know, 20 times, and he played it one time. He didn't play it, and they would call it out and request it, and he wouldn't play it.
He just wouldn't do it.
Yeah, and I think it was, it gets back to that California period.
Yeah.
And there was something about all that he didn't want to revisit.
Yeah.
And I think that song really was a trigger in some way. I don't know if it was because it was, you know, his biggest song from those days or what it was about. I don't know, but he really did not want to play it.
Wow. And, you know, to come to think of it, I never heard him play that. I mean, like when we played together, we were together every month or two. And so, I mean, I heard him play, I don't know, 100
dozens.
Songs
yeah.
or dozens for yeah. sure. You know, and I never heard him play that.
And I just remember people would request it loudly.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't do it.
Wouldn't do it.
He did it one time. Yeah. I don't know why he picked that night to do it. It was at Otherlands.
Oh, okay.
And he played it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, he was that guy. If he didn't want to do something, he was not going to do it. Believe me, he was not. He did not crush under the pressure.
No. You did not tell John what to do.
Yeah, don't tell him to be anywhere at a certain time.
No. Yeah. Don't box me in, man.
That's right.
Don't fence me in.
That's right. I'm not going to commit, but I may see you tomorrow night.
Depending on how I feel.
That's right, yeah. All right, so what are we going to... All right, we're going to do Memory in the Making now, which is a great song.
Yeah.
And it's really... it's one of those 80s anthems.
You know? And it came off of... did it come off of Busman's Holiday?
No, I think it was... Well...
Let me see here.
I'm not sure.
Look it up. It came off of one of his Geffen records.
And it was on MTV and stuff.
Was it?
Yes, it was. I think it was well known. Red Blue Jeans, you know, he tore up MTV with Red Blue Jeans. But this one.
This came off of, how could I not know this? The album was called Memory in the Making.
Oh, all right.
So it's the title cut.
Here we go, the title cut, Memory in the Making.
1988.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, can you do a gift from the sun? Do you have that queued up?
Yeah, I think we're ready. Okay. Yeah. So, folks, we got one more song to do.
Yeah.
And this has been fun, John. We didn't get through all our songs, but we were just talking that, you know, Kilzer had a lot of songs.
And,
you know, the more I think, oh, I like this one, too. So let's come back. Will you come back and do a part two?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know what kills me is I heard him play a lot of songs in our group.
Yeah.
Or in other environments. And they were great, great songs, yeah. and they were never recorded.
Yeah, right.
And
yeah.
I wonder, you know, what all is out there that got written and
right.
You'll never hear it.
That's right.
You'll just never hear it. That's kind of sad, you know.
Well, but we were certainly in a unique position, you know, to sit there with guitars in our laps,
yeah.
while he was playing, you
yeah,
know,
yeah, yeah.
And bringing, you know, yeah. ideas and things,
yeah.
you know. So
hey. There must have been 20 songs that he played that I thought, wow, that was really cool.
Yeah.
And I said, what record is that off of? He said, well, it's not on any record. I haven't recorded it yet.
Right.
And then he died and all that just went away, you know, never. So,
wow.
But, you know, we've played a lot of, I don't know, I wouldn't say depressing songs, but we haven't really played anything upbeat. Can we play an upbeat?
Sure,
you know, can we end it on a high note, on a happy note?
Yeah, if I have that here or I can find it, what do you want to play?
A Gift from the Sun.
Oh, yeah. I've got that. And, folks, thank you so much for being here. This is the part one of the Kilzer tribute. My name's Willie Beard, and I'm here with John Buford. And we're going to end this with A Gift from the Sun.
Fly.